listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church Fivefold Fellowship. And with my lovely wife now, no longer will I call her Pastor Betty, but I call her Apostle Betty Whitaker. I know that some young man out there now don't understand why she's an apostle, but we did have female apostles that was along with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let the church say amen. We need to learn how to read our history and understand that God will use somebody to preach this gospel. Amen. Amen. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can call my cell at 561-718-2361. And we are here today. We'll have a lovely time. We get ready to say our motto. Are you ready, church? Here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will, I say, we will, one more time, we will rejoice and be glad in it. So now, no matter what the enemy does, no matter what the devil does or what he says, or how or what we go through, he will not and cannot take our joy. Yes, indeed. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm glad that he made this day that we have never seen before. And I thank God that he gave us the power and breath in this old body. And while I'm upright, guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I know that somebody will get healed today. I know that somebody will get delivered today. I know that somebody's eyes will come open, not because of what I say, but because of the word of God. Yes, our Sunday morning Sunday school start at 11 o'clock. Our morning service start at 12. Tuesday night, we have Bible study at 7:30. Yes. Come out and join us, 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34984. And you can reach me at 561-718-2361. And there's my cell number. You can call me at any time. And then we're going to, if you want prayer or if you just want just to talk or you got something on your mind, just give me a call at 561-718-2361. Now, as we're getting ready to go into our day's lesson today, we're going to talk about a subject that I think that a lot of people just overlooking. And we know about God. We know that he is the Father. We know that he created all things. And we know that he set a plan for our redemption. And we know that he set a plan for our salvation. When Adam, the first Adam man, lost the right and the authority to this precious world, and God has given him all that authority, but he was somehow or another, I ain't say deceived, but somehow or another he lost the authority because of curiosity, along with his wife Eve, when they ate of the fruit. And then once they ate of the fruit, then sin came in, and sickness and disease, and all these things began to fall against man. And now we are working by the sweat of our brow, and that's why the ladies have pain in their birth, because they'll be disobedient to the word of God. Now, we know about Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was sent from heaven. He came as God, and he was created in man so that he was able to do and see what we was going through and feel our pain and feel our sorrow and feel our hunger and feel our being in poverty, not being rich. And he was tempted in all manners of sin and everything that is in this world today. Jesus Christ was already tempted, and Jesus Christ has set the example to let us know that we can overcome anything in this world. All we have to do is set up a mindset, have a right attitude, and be positive about everything that we go through, and have and the knowledge of the word of God. And Jesus Christ knew that when he came into this world that he was going back to the Father. And we thank God for the resurrection that Jesus Christ did get up. Oh, thank God that he did rose on the third day as the scripture said that he will do. And so that tells me that long as Jesus Christ got up, then guess what? I'm able to get up and do the same thing by that same power. Ah, come on, somebody. That same power that got Jesus Christ up, that same power will get us up. And I thank God for that power. Now we know about God and we know about Jesus Christ. And we know about righteousness and we know about grace and we know about mercy. And thank God for his grace and mercy today. Without God's grace and mercy, where would we be? As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be sitting here on the radio today because God sure had to have mercy and grace on me. When I was out in the world doing whatever I wanted to do, have Jesus nowhere on my mind, doing those things that was wrong, disobeying God, but somehow or another, Jesus looked into my heart and saw that there was something more to me than it was, that I was worth saving. I'm here to tell somebody today that you are worth saving. Jesus Christ have looked into your heart and saw that there's more to you than what the world say it is. No matter what anybody say, no matter how they down talk you or how they try to belittle you or try to put you down. But let me tell you, there's more to you than the eye can see. There's something deep down on the inside that God has instilled in us. Oh, yes, I say he instilled that quality in us so that we can be redeemed, that we can be saved. And I thank God, I thank God, I thank God that one day I answer his call. One day that my eyes will open. And we're hoping that somebody's eyes be open today. Now, I want to talk about the Trihead, the third person in the Trihead. That whom sometimes we just neglect, whom sometimes we don't really give respect to, and sometimes we really just don't pay him no mind whatsoever. And I have heard a lot of people say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I like to say the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. They still the same, but for my preference, I just like to say the Holy Ghost. I just love that word. So if you want to say the Holy Spirit, that's fine. But we're still talking about the same person. And we know that it is the Holy Ghost that did all the work. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, and he gave, oh, yes, he did. He gave the work to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the one that moved upon the water. And the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost was the one that separated the land from the water. Now, if we was to go back and look at Jesus, when Jesus was being baptized in the river Jordan by John, and said, the skies opened up, and God said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And it said that the Holy Spirit came down, yes he did, like a dove, and lit upon Jesus Christ. Wow, I wish I could have been there. I know that could have been a magnificent scene. But we know that the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, that immediately he was led, come on now, into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. So now, if Jesus Christ, come on, can be led by the Spirit of God and by the Holy Ghost, that tells me that there's something intelligent about this Holy Ghost. Some people say, well, he's not intelligent. But is my Lord and Savior the same one who's going to redeem me? The same one who's going to cause me to get up, if he can be led by that same Spirit, then why can't we be led by that Spirit? And the Bible says that when he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, and we know that Satan came with all manners. Listen, you got to understand what the scripture said. It says all manners of sin. So everything that you're going through today, everything that you are finna to go through or done went through, Jesus Christ has already came in. It didn't say some, but it says all. It says there's no sin on this earth that Jesus Christ have not conquered. So that tells me that I can conquer that sin myself if I'm just willing and have the power and know the word of God. And if you begin to read, and the Bible did tell us that immediately after Jesus came off of his fast, that the angels came and ministered to him. Then it goes down in a few more verses, said that then he was filled, oh yes he was, with this power of the Spirit of God. So now we must understand and know that when Jesus did miracles, he did it not by his power, because if he would have did it by his power, the first thing was somebody say, well, he God anyway. He could, you know, it wouldn't have made no difference, but he God anyway. So what he doing, he doing it natural. But while Jesus Christ was in a form of a man, he had no power. Come on, church, we got to understand. But by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost, oh, that Jesus was able to do all these miracles. So we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost today. I know some people say, well, he ain't nothing but a wind. But you got to understand that the scripture that Jesus used was something that we can relate to. And we know what the wind is. And what is the evidence of the wind? The only way that you know that the wind is blowing, when you see the trees begin to bend or bow, or you standing out in the hot sun, and all of a sudden you feel wind on your right side, your left side, now you know that the wind is, that's the evidence that we know that the Holy Ghost is around us. So we are not supposed to take the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost lightly. Because the Bible says, if you want to know the deeper things of God, you must be filled with his Spirit. And the Holy Ghost will teach us what the word says and lead us and bring all things back to our remembrance as we read the word of God. And King James and Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there in verse number 30, is where we will start today. And it says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until that day of redemption. And I want us to understand that something has to seal us. We are preserved until that day. We are being kept until that day. It's not by your might, it's not by my might, but it's by the Spirit of God that preserves us and keeps us. We are sealed. You know, when you seal something, it keeps out the air. It keeps out all the stuff that caused it to deteriorate. When you seal something, that means that you're putting your approval on it, and God has approved us. Ooh, come on, church. Somebody say amen out there. God has approved us. So we must not take the Holy Ghost lightly. We must not dismiss him as some kind of wind or some kind of thing. He's very intelligent. If not, then why does the Bible tell us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, not a believer's own spirit, but you are sanctified, come on now, by the Holy Ghost. That means that you are set apart. I feel the anointing in this place already. You are a set apart by the Spirit of God. That means when God set us apart, that means that we do not act like, talk like, or do like the world. If you said you are a child of God, come on now, we got to get this thing straight. We got to get this down into our spirit. So you must know who you are, and you must act according to who you are. So in other words, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live your sinful life. So in other words, when I repent, and repent, it means that I want to have a change of mind. That's what repentance means. I'm doing something wrong, but yet now I want to change my mind and do something right. So if you call yourself have repented, and you still doing the same thing, that means that you have not truly repented. So now you are grieving the Spirit of God. You are being grieved because you're not changing your life. And this is how you grieve the Holy Ghost, by sin. Come on, church. The Spirit of a good man that heals our words and sees our action, knowing that we are not grieving the Holy Ghost. When somebody see you and you are not acting like you used to act, you're not talking like you used to talk. Come on, somebody. You're not walking like you used to walk, and you have changed your ways. Now, you're not grieving the Spirit. Somebody should see that there is a change in you. I don't care whether you are an apostle. I don't care whether you're a preacher. I don't care whether you're just in the congregation. But if you say that you are a child of God, there have to be a change in your life. You cannot, I say again, you cannot stay the same. And we know that the Holy Ghost is the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Ghost may be grieved not only by those that are unbelievers, by the stubborn resistance and the opposing to the gospel and the means of grace, by the contempt of his person, his office, and his grace, but not only by them, but by believers as well. By doing, come on now, both by their words, they lie, they anger, and they are corrupt. Come on now. There's a lot of folks do not want to come to church because you got some folks that call themselves to be a Christian, and they don't act like no Christian. And I hear a whole lot. And there are some evil folks in the Church of God. There's some people that speak Jesus on one side of the mouth and be Christian on the other side. There's some people that don't show love. They still got bitterness. Still got hatefulness. Ain't got nothing good to say about nobody. But yet you say that you are a child of God. Where is the love? And every time you act out, you're still grieving the Spirit of God. You're still not doing, you're still not being led by the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says that, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In other words, so stop telling lies. Come on, somebody. Let us tell our neighbors in truth, for we all are part of the same body. And this is a caution against what we are trying to do. And we need to understand that we got to stop this being. And I hear a lot of people saying all the time, well, that's just the way I am. You can't say that no more. If you say a child of God, something got to change on the inside. Something got to uplift you and open your eyes. Somebody got to lead you in the right direction. Come on, somebody. Come on, church. We got to understand. We got to stop grieving the Spirit of God. We got to stop being and doing the way that what we think is right, but being led by the Spirit of God. And even in churches, when I go to some churches and the Spirit of God is high in the church, and some pastors really need to know when the Spirit is at work. It's not about your preaching. It's not about how good you can preach, but it's about you getting somebody saved, one soul at a time. We got to know when the Spirit is in operating, so that the Spirit can do the work that God, come on somebody, had sent him to do to us. We'll get to the point where some of us preachers, we'll get to the point where it's all about my preaching and we'll just quench the Spirit of God. stop their flow. But one thing that I do know in First Church Fivefold Fellowship, when the Spirit is in operation, one thing that I will do, and I'm going to tell you right now, I will stop my preaching. I will stop whatever's going on and let the Spirit do what needs to be done. It's not about us, but it's about somebody being saved. Somebody have been praying to God and seeking for an answer. And when they come to the church, come on now, and God begin to reveal that answer to them, we got to be able to let the Spirit do what needs to be done. And if we was to let the Spirit do, matter of fact, we shouldn't have to preach at all. If the Spirit is so high in the church, come on, we wouldn't have to preach all, because the Spirit need and will deliver who need to be delivered. Ooh, Jesus. I'm telling you, we got to stop grieving the Spirit of God and let the Spirit flow. And I see a lot of times people, when the Spirit well up on the inside of them, they quenches the Spirit. They won't let the Spirit have his way. You have been praying. You have been seeking. You want to be delivered. You want to get out that situation. But when the Spirit of God come in and try to deliver you, you shut him down. You won't let him have his way. I know sometimes it feel uncomfortable. But he need to put you in a spot where it's uncomfortable so that you can get right with God. I didn't find nowhere in my Bible. I read the King James and other Bible. I ain't found nowhere in the Bible say it going to feel good to you. As a matter of fact, it made me mad and upset when somebody spoke the truth to me. When somebody told me that I was in sin and I was in error, I didn't want to hear that. Because I thought and knew that I was right. And lo and behold, when I began to read the word of God, I found out that I was in error. So when I found out that I was in error, I needed to correct the error that I was in. To correct the mistake that I was in. The Spirit of God comes in. And it want to cleanse us and purge us of things that's not right. While we are rebelling against God, but we need to allow the Spirit of God to come in and purge those things out. But when it comes in and want to do what needs to be done, and we be feeling like it just ain't feeling right, and what we do, we'll just shut him down. We won't let him have his way. Now, you don't grieve the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 4:26 says, be you angry and sin not. Could I park the bus right there? Because sometimes people look at us Christians talking about we don't supposed to get mad. I don't supposed to get upset. Now, I just read it. I can get angry now, but I ain't got the sin. So I don't know where they get this thing and we got to turn the other cheek. Be you angry. And Bob ain't never said I couldn't get mad. Because he know that I'm human. I still got emotions. But once I get angry, I don't act upon that anger. I don't act out on that anger. Then it goes on and says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, this got to go with a lot of a married couple. Some married couples, they go to bed mad. Me and my wife ain't never went to bed mad. I will not. I refuse to go. If we got to stay up all night long till we get it right. Don't sin and let anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you still anger. The Spirit of God. Your thoughts. Your sinful thoughts. By the unbelief of thy heart. And by the unmindfulness things of the Spirit, when they disregard the rules and the advance of the Spirit, you are not using the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost being grieved, then the Holy Ghost depart from you. Wow. He departs from you. And this is to be besieged by the darkness of your soul. and the pervading of the corruption, the weakness of grace, and the backwardness of your duty. There are many reasons why the Holy Ghost should not be grieved, because he is God the Spirit, the author of new birth, the implanter and applier of all grace, and the finisher of it. Because the Holy Ghost is the Saint Comforter, your advocate, your helper, your strengthener, and your constant companion, the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and he remain in you until death. And the Bible does tell us that the Holy Ghost will dwell with us, and he'll dwell in us. So that we got to know that he is our helper. And we got to know that he's one who strengthens us. We got to know that he is our constant companion. Come on, somebody. If you say you are a child of God, he is the one that gives us the new birth. He is the one that regenerates us. He is the one that cleanses us and purifies us, our minds, our thoughts. He is the finisher of it all. He is the author. Come on. Oh, my God. I feel this thing. The Holy Ghost. You got to know who the Holy Ghost is. And whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And that is the sealing work of the Holy Ghost. My God. Let the Holy Ghost seal us, preserve us, keep us until that time, until that day, until Jesus come back in glory. We are sealed. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. You ain't got nothing to do with it. But it is a promise that God has kept for us. A promise that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. I think we'll finish this up next week. Our time is getting short. If you don't have a home church, come visit us tomorrow morning. Sunday school starts at 11 o'clock. Our morning service starts at 12. Bible study on Tuesday night at 7:30. The address is 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34984. You can call me at 561-718-2361. And if you need prayer, give me a call. You can send us an email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. Come on, church, I said one more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. And I say one more time. Thank you, God. And be glad in it. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Apostle Vernon Whitaker. And along with my lovely wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker, and all the members of First Church Fivefold Fellowship, we say God bless you. And you have a good day today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you can call me at 561-718-2361. Give me a call if you just need prayer. If you just need prayer, give us a call. And I'm quite sure that I know that God will get a breakthrough. Thank you for listening to the true word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the true word of God.